ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
मम मायादुरत्यया मामेव योपपद्यन्ते मायानेतान्तरन्ति ते।
This is one energy of mind competing with three modes of material nature. It is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Taivisvesha Ganamal. The whole material world is covered by the three modes of material nature. Mama Maya Dhrastaya. And this Maya, which is mind, is very difficult to overcome. Dhrastaya means very difficult to overcome. But those who surrender to me, Mane Vijaya Kapadyante. Kapadyante means surrender. And the Kapadyante word is used in many ways. Can anybody know another word? Other Kapadyante is this. Kapadyate Apakadyante. Kapadyante Naragama. There are sections of the word Kapadyante. Kapadyante surrender. Manavya Kapadyante, Maya Netaam Karantate. Those who surrender to me can easily cross beyond it. So here Krishna is speaking about the three modes of material nature. Unless we understand what are the three modes and how difficult the three modes are to overcome, we can't appreciate surrender to Krishna. So we will try to understand what are these three modes. There are three modes of material nature only, Sattvaguna, Rajaguna and Tamaguna. The whole world is covered by these three modes. Everything and everyone in this creation is touched by the three modes. The soul is originally pure. Just like uncontaminated water coming from the sky, this crystal clear, when it comes in touches the sand, it becomes dirty. Similarly, the pure soul is not covered by modes. Originally it's free of modes. But when it comes into this material world, it becomes covered over by these three modes. You can see the general behavior of one who is afflicted by any of these modes. Like for example, in psychology, there are so many syndromes. You heard of syndrome? Like somebody is affected by some phobia or some syndrome, they have a particular type of behavior. Isn't it? You observe it? Similarly, becoming affected by any of these modes also is like a diseased state. The person behaves in a particular way when he is affected by three modes. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna clearly says in the 14th chapter and 17th and 18th chapter that there are three particular types of behavior that is shown in this world. Behavior in goodness, in passion, and in ignorance. And each of them have their very specific characteristics. Like in mode of goodness, as you say, the person is very mild and gentle in behavior. He is more wiser than the common populace. He has certainly much more material knowledge than the common populace. He doesn't indulge in habits like intoxication, meat-eating and gambling and things like that. So he keeps his life very pure. And because he is more or less free from sinful activities, he is experiencing happiness. So it is characterized by two things, sukha and jnana. Sukha is happiness and jnana is knowledge. So because he is more wiser than the common populace, there is a tendency to become proud that the whole world is suffering but I am happy. So a man in goodness and things like that. And also he experiences happiness in his senses. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita how such a person in a mode of goodness, all the senses become enlightened, illumined. They become illumined. That means when you don't indulge your senses in abominable activities, then you become illumined. That means they are not misused. That means they are becoming illumined. Like the eyes, the nose, the tongue, the ears, and the skin. So these are not misused by one in the mode of goodness. And follows all the scriptural principles. He can clearly discriminate what is right, what is wrong, what should I do, what should I not do. Simple activities will never even cross his mind. He will not do that because he will clearly know this is not proper for me to do. So such people in the mode of goodness, they certainly experience happiness in this world. And what is the result of living such a life in the mode of goodness? Then they will be elevated to Brahma Loka, Krishna Chaitanya, or Satya Loka, or any one of the top higher planetary systems where there are great friendly persons living. And the person can go there and also practice asceticism and become more purified. And then if he transcends the three modes, then he can return back to God. Otherwise, generally, Urdhvam Gacchanti, Satvastha, it is said. And then there is a person in mode of passion. A person in mode of passion has many characteristics, of which the prominent is desire and attachment. Krishna and Sangha, these two things. Desire, for possessing something which you don't have, and attachment for the things which you already have. So this is the nature of the mode of passion. Krishna. Krishna means great hankering. Such people in the mode of passion, they will always hanker for something or other. Either such a person may be hankering for enjoyment in life, or he will hanker for making a big skyscraper building. And if you have to build a skyscraper building, sometimes you find you need 100-story building. You know how much money is involved in that. In order to make such a building, one has to work very hard and accumulate money. And you also put another 100 people in hard work in making that building. And then after finishing it, one may get some kind of mental happiness, which is going to last for a while, because when one dies, one loses everything and goes away. So this kind of desire to create something, to hanker for honor, prestige, to hanker for body attachments, like even sex life, attachment between man and woman is also coming under the mode of passion. So desire and sangha, desire and attachment, that means Krishna and sangha, these two are the characteristics of mode of passion. Such people are very active, very hard working, but they are not godly. And even if they are apparently godly, that is only a nature of business. These people in the mode of passion, they simply make a show of religion. They are actually not religious properly. Sometimes they may give charity. That's why Krishna later explains, Yajna, Dana, Tapa, all of them can be in Satya Guna, Raja Guna and Tama Guna. Even when they perform Dana, they perform it for self advertisement. They want to make a show that such and such rich person has given uniforms to children, has built a school, and has done this great charity. This is their goal. So this is more of passion. And more of ignorance is characterized by three things: Pramada, Alasya, and Nidra. These three things Krishna says. Pramada means madness. Alasya means laziness. And Nidra means sleep. So these three are very prominent characteristics. So these people cover days that they sleep for like 12 to 15 hours a day. Then they listen. And they get intoxicants. Animal killing is also in mode of ignorance. Intoxicating, meat eating, and abominable habits. And it is exactly opposite to the mode of goodness. In mode of goodness, one can clearly discriminate what is right and what is wrong. In mode of ignorance, one cannot discriminate anything. One doesn't know what is right, what is wrong. One just acts by instinct, exactly like an animal. So those people who are in a mode of passion, they may, in the next life, become a king, or become the owner of a company, or they may be occupying a big position, or if they were excessively passionate, they may even become mad in the next life. They get madness. But people in the mode of ignorance, they are sure to glide down to hell. Those people in human body, if they are living in the mode of ignorance, they will go down to hellish planets, or they will take animal bodies like dog or cat or cockroach or things like that, because they are living such an abominable life while doing a human day. So in this way, these three modes are clearly explained to Krishna very vividly. I just gave you a small glimpse into these three modes. If you go into there, you can find out, all of us, you all can find out in which mode I am situated. Actually, one has to be in the mode of goodness to see the other modes. Otherwise, if you are in the mode of passion, you cannot even see ourselves. It's very difficult. If you are in goodness, because you are wiser than others, you'll be able to see that somebody is in mode of ignorance, somebody is in mode of passion. You can be clearly seen like that. So, in the modern times, we talk about, right, that majority of the population is in the mode of passion. Every time. It is therefore decorating the body, putting cosmetics and lipstick and hair dyes and having varieties of different types of clothes and different types of hairstyles and different types of shoes. All meant only for the body, such a civilization is actually in the mode of fashion. Decoration of the dead body, as it is said. Completely ignorant of the soul. So it is in the mode of fashion. So when people live life in the mode of fashion, there is a lot of hard work. They perform to accumulate more and more, but nothing comes to the rescue of them of that. They leave everything and go. So this is Maya's arrangement, that she has these 3 months with which she makes the whole world dance according to her tune. She used to call this pager as a fourth mode. She's the pager. See, somebody has a pager, sometimes they are very proud that you have a pager with her. People are very proud that I have a pager or a mobile. So you immediately appear like an important person. But then, when you have a pager, even when you go to the bathroom, you cannot peacefully take a bath or, do your activities. The pager will start ringing. Immediately you have to attend to it. So are you a more prestigious man or are you a more bound man? You are more bound by that. Similarly, the 3 modes, they dominate all the living beings and make them dance according to their plan. I'll give you a example. Like for example, there is a fire that breaks out in a big cinema theater. And all the doors are closed and locked and you find the fire coming up. So people in different modes will act differently. People who are in mode of goodness, they will not do anything immediately. They will just find out, oh, now there is fire in the screen. So what next the fire is going to spread all around. Now there are about 1,000 people inside. Now all these people have to get out. So they have to make some proper queue or proper way to get out of the door. There is a limited door, just 4 doors are there, and 1,000 people have to get out within a few minutes. So what should be done? They will think for a while. And they will make some arrangement immediately. And they will write that it will be good to do that. A person in mode of fashion, after he sees fire, he will immediately jump up. He runs here and there, back and forth, doing nothing. Sometimes. He will not know what to do. From front to back and back to front, he will be running. In mode of fashion. And in mode of ignorance, as soon as he sees fire, he will give a big jump and say, oh, he will cry like that. And he will fall fainted. He will be fearful. So mode of ignorance means illusion, indolence, fear, all these things come in mode of ignorance. Confusion. That coming in mode of ignorance. Whereas mode of passion means very active, dynamic, but sometimes, most often in the wrong direction. That mode of passion. Very active. But mode of goodness means very thoughtful. She thinks right before he acts. So mode of goodness person is peaceful in knowledge. And more of ignorant person is peaceful than ignorance. Both of them are calm people. Only the difference is one is in knowledge, one is in ignorance. As a person in more of ignorance is dull-headed, he always postpones. The postponement also comes in the mode of ignorance, procrastination. That also is in the mode of ignorance. But if a person in knowledge is peacefully situated happily, because he is following the scriptures, he is living a clear life, not committing any sinful activities. Now, if I ask any of you, what happened? All of them go here. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So any of you assembly here, if I ask you, in which mode you would like to be? How many of you would like to be in the mode of ignorance? Nobody. How many of you would like to be in the mode of passion? Oh, really? Presently you would like to be in the mode of passion. No, okay. Oh, that is right. My question is, how many of you would like to be? How many of you like to be in goodness? Okay. I'm happy that many want to be in goodness at least. So goodness is a good platform amongst the three in order to achieve true wisdom. But even if one is in the platform of goodness, that is not sufficient. Why? Because even a person in goodness will have to take birth again and again in the platform of goodness. Example given, a person in mode of goodness means like a poet or a philosopher. Are a scientist. These people are wiser than the common populace. So poet may be releasing so many nice poems from various literatures. Our philosopher may like speaking philosophy. Or they may like music. Some people, I think they get lost in totally as in Carnatic music. They put them in Kala like this. In accounting. And very nice music. It has a very nice meaning also, glorification of the Lord. They like it. They like the music more than the meaning. Many people say, "Where person you have put on this? Kargalya, Duttada, Rama, Purva, Sanja, Pravatkata, L1. You know, the Sankresa Prabhatama. The Satnam, Satnam, the Punda. But how do you know the meaning of this stotra? If only they know the meaning and live by it, how much benefit will they get?
But they just have attraction for it. Just because they are most experienced goodness, is very attractive. Hearing music. So we have with us Anirudha Prabhu, disciple of His Holiness Jayadeva Samaraj, please welcome. Welcome to Pune for a week, you'll be here. So we're talking about more of goodness, isn't it? So a philosopher or a scientist or a poet is in more of goodness, but then they will have to be born again and again in the more of goodness. There are so many poems that were released before coming to Krishna consciousness. But these poems are not going to help you to transcend the material world. They will not help you. Actually, many of you also hear must appreciate poems, isn't it? How many of you? Like poems, so see? Very natural. Before coming to spiritual life, you have appreciation for writing poems. Nowadays they have modern poems. Adhunika kavita. You have attraction for them. And you have attraction for writing articles, attraction for philosophy. Hare Krishna. The great amount of ignorance in the world.
Goodness, ignorance. So, such people, even in mode of goodness, they will have to be born again and again, repeatedly. Abdhamma bhuna loka, janarabhakti narjuna. They have to come back again. Not only that, these three modes, they are always fighting with one another to dominate one another. Rajasattvam, tamasattvam, tamasattvam, rajasattvam. Krishna is saying that. Sometimes, tamas comes to the top. It's not that I am in mode of goodness, I will always remain there. Sometimes, although they are in mode of goodness, sometimes the tamas or rajas comes to the surface. Like Ajamila says. Evident? Ajamila was a brahmana. And he went to the forest to pick up some flowers for puja. So when he went to pick up some flowers, on the way he came across the Shudra and Shudrani embracing one another. And immediately the mode of passion came to surface. So this is the way it works. All the three modes are present in this creation. So any of those modes can come to surface. So those are the mode of goodness, they may be elevated to higher planets, but they are born again and again, even if they are in mode of goodness. And mode of passion, they are born again and again in the same Marthya Loka. So, in mode of goodness, there is happiness, relative happiness. In mode of passion, there is misery. And mode of ignorance leads to foolishness, as I said. Leads to foolishness, utter foolishness. So in this way, even if one is achieving in any of these modes, even the highest of the modes, mode of goodness, so, one is reborn at the end again. So that is why the example is given. People often give this example, like a gold chain. Like whether you are arrested with a gold chain or a brass chain or a iron chain, it hardly makes any difference. Ultimately, chain is a chain. You are bound by it. Your hands and legs are tied up. Actually, the three modes are called as gunas for another reason, because guna also means rope. As we tie a person's hand and leg by rope, and you just cannot do anything. You are bound by it. Similarly, we all have certain modes at the time of our birth, and we continue to exhibit it generally throughout our life. That's why the modes, otherwise the modes generally categorization is done. If you are in mode of goodness, you are a brahmana. If you are in mode of passion, you are a kshatriya. If you are in mode of passion and ignorance, vaishya. And in ignorance means shudra. So these are done according to the one's modes in which one is born. The modes which one exhibits. So, in this way, even the topmost mode of goodness keeps a person bound, like in an A-class jail. In America, sometimes in an A-class jail, a person is told to do some typing, or take care of the gardens, or they have to be like a librarian. So these jobs appear to be very decent jobs. Sometimes he's allowed to sit and see the television also. He can hear radio, see television. But all these things have to be done within a confined region. You cannot go out of it. There is a boundary wall. So jail is a jail. Another reason an A-class jail. In a B-class jail, a person will be asked to break the stones who have committed some thievery. He is very rebellious. He is put in a B-class jail. In a C-class jail, he may be a murderer. So they may tie him with strong chains and put him in solitary confinement in a lonely island. But ultimately, as long as one is in a jail, one doesn't have freedom. Correct? We don't have freedom. So we want freedom. That is why Krishna says, Raigunna Vishaya Veda, Srayagunya Bhavarjuna. You have to become Srayagunya. Go beyond all the three gunas. even beyond goodness. That is called Shuddha Sattva or Vishuddha Sattva, going beyond the three modes. So that is also called Vasudeva platform, in which one is not even tempted by the platform of goodness. It is purified goodness. Some other time we can talk in detail about this pure goodness. Today the topic is on three modes. So we will talk more about that. But we have to know that we have to transcend these three modes. Otherwise what happens in this world, people tend to become caught up in the three modes and they don't like to give up their activities and go back to God. They are not at all interested. So they said even in the mode of ignorance, a person is very satisfied in ignorance. Narakastopi deham vai na tumam kakti nichati. Also another word is this. Yantur vai bhava ekasmin yamyam yonim anumpate kasyam kasyam charlapate nirvittinna virajjate nirvittinna virajjate. He said, he never gets averse even in the horrible conditions of life. Like for example, just now when we were coming to the class today, we saw a camel walking. Poor camel, he is supposed to walk in the desert. So his legs are made suitable for walking in the desert. But now we have to walk in a road, you know, you have to keep legs in a particular way. Very difficult actually. But still he was struggling to walk properly. And you can see his face, anybody can understand that he is in mode of ignorance. Camel is in mode of ignorance. So you may think that this poor camel is born in ignorance and he is suffering. But he thinks he is enjoying in the camel's body. Or once, Srila Prabhupada saw one snail. The snail was passing from one place to another place, inch by inch, not even inch, millimeter by millimeter. That is very good. It will take him probably a whole day, morning to evening, to move from one wall to the another wall. So slowly. You have seen a snail moving? So you may think this poor snail, horrible creature, why should we live? Let him die. But he thinks, I have to live. I don't want to die. Because everyone is satisfied. Aho mahi yati jantor jivikasa yata bhavan. He said, Vera said this. Every living entity in this world, no matter in whichever mode he or she is born, they would like to continue living in that mode and they think they are happy. That's why even people living in a slum with tin houses, they think they are happy. What then to speak of a person in mode of goodness, who is almost free from sinful reactions? How will he not consider the life happy? That is the reason sometimes it is more difficult to preach to people in goodness. If you go to them, they will take you to the puja room and show you, there will be 100 pictures there. So all the things are arrayed in our puja room. Don't think we are atheistic people. You don't have to prove them that God exists. They already have faith. They already worshipping God and doing 10 different types of potras. So it's very difficult to change them and bring them to Krishna consciousness because they think they know. They think they are in wisdom. And they are really happy because they don't engage in simple activities. So there is a tendency to become attached to one's position and remain in the material world, not even wanting to get out. One time some scientists conducted a test on three rats. Some few rats. There were three platforms. So when the rat would hit one platform, immediately the puff of hot air will come from there. It was a cold winter season. They conducted the experiment. So when the puff of hot air will come, the rat would feel so nice in the cold winter. And in another platform, when the rat would beat it, then immediately some butter piece will come, a small piece of butter will fall. Then the rat used to eat it. Then the third platform, the rat would beat. Immediately there was an electric shock. So these three platforms were there, and all the rats, they were very happily enjoying going round and round. So they would beat the first one, second one, third one, get hot air and butter piece and sometimes get shock. So all the rats talked to themselves, please don't touch the third one, it's dangerous. To get electric shock there. Then the scientists understood that the rats are now getting some knowledge about the different platforms. Now they changed all of it. They made some reversal in that. Now wherever they were getting butter, all the rats are beating that. And then when they were beating that, now they got electric shock there. Second time they were touching the middle platform. So this is the scientists reversed that. So they were beating this and that and trying to find out where the rat can get butter, which one I get electric shock, you know. They're playing like this. Sometimes the scientists opened the enclosed box, but none of the rats turned towards the door to come out. They were simply enjoying running here and there and beating different platforms. So these three platforms are compared to the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. Living entities are so bound in this world that they don't even want to come out even if they are shown away. But here is a way. So they never come out. They don't want to come out. And in every one of these modes, they are suffering somehow or other. See, even a person in mode of goodness, is he not getting out? Old age, does he not amount to suffering? Old age means suffering. As you grow old, you will understand. Our bodily parts will not cooperate with us.
what you expect them to do, they want to. The trouble right about the uranium, most people sometimes they cannot have urine, it has to be extracted from the body. Sometimes they get rheumatic pain, arthritis, such a problem. And there are bypass surgeries and what not. People, some people are dead and passing through and urine in the belly itself. Horrible old age. So even a person in goodness will have to endure the old age and diseases and death. Even a person in goodness. What is it of a person in passion? He is always miserable because he has the hankering, Krishna. Because of Krishna he has mental suffering. Constant hankering for something or the other. And what is ignorance? Needless to say, they are suffering just like animals are suffering. Sometimes animals are tearing each other and fighting. They live horrible lives. So people in moral ignorance also live very horrible lives. So in any of these modes, one is certainly suffering. So once you desire to come out of the modes. But if you see, a modern man doesn't have any idea about the three modes, but the modes are working anyway. Like you can see people going to cities. Like if you take the leading cities of the world today, they are building such huge buildings with 100-story, 200-story buildings. And all houses are like matchboxes. And people live in small matchboxes. So, sometimes these matchboxes are like pigeonholes. You have some pigeonholes? In pigeonholes, there are people belonging in the temple. You have some pigeonholes? So they look like pigeonholes, all these houses. Small one-room apartments. And people are ready to go to such city and live there. Surrounded by water pollution, air pollution, noise pollution. No proper milk. They say what is it is actually not milk. It has been processed so many times. With so many additions and subtractions and so many preservatives and so on. So, the kind of food they eat, the kind of atmosphere in which they live, still a man wants to live there. Why? Because it's a mode of passion. Man wants to somehow or other accumulate wealth. So the modes of passion are acting. It's not that Bhagavad Gita has spoken 5,000 years ago, now the modes won't be acting now. It was for those people. The modes are there in this creation always. It is by Maya. By the Heshwanamai, Mama Maya Dragaya. So Maya is actually the person behind, who is making everyone dance according to action. There is a picture in Bhagavad Gita in the scene. The man is gliding down to hell. You have seen the picture? There is lust, pride, envy, anger, illusion and greed. And down, there is a picture of one lady, Maya Devi. She is showing her hand like this. And all the ornaments are there in her hand and head. All over her body she is wearing all golden ornaments. And she is, the sharp eyes, she is looking at the man and the man is gliding down slowly. So that represents actually Maya. Maya is alluring all the living entities according to their mode. This is the beauty. Everyone is attracted to something according to their mode. Like it is a Brahmana Bhojana Priyadisan. Brahmana means they are attracted to Bhojana. So if you want to win the favor of a person, you have to understand in which mode he is in. Accordingly, if you offer a gift, then only you can attract a person. If you go and tell a Brahmana, I'll give you gold, you will not be so attracted. More attracted to prasad. Similarly, everyone is attracted to something or the other. Like a child is attracted to a toy, or a young boy is attracted to a young girl, or an old man will be attracted to a grandson, or granddaughter, or whatever, grandchildren at home. Or an average man will be attracted to money and property, accumulating wealth and property and things like that. So everyone in this world is in a certain mode and attracted to certain things, and Maya has it with her. Just like a fisherman places a meaty bait in the hook and attacks the unintelligent fish by putting it in the water. Because the fish is greedy to enjoy its tongue, isn't it? So as soon as the meaty bait is put in the water, the fish looks at it and thinks, oh, some foolish person has left the meat here. This piece of meat is meant for my enjoyment. Just like you catch the rat in home. You have seen how you catch the rat? You put some coconut or something in there. The rat will see it and the foolish rat will go inside. And as soon as it tries to eat it, immediately the door will close. So whenever you find something enjoyable, lying, unclaimed, be very careful. Understand it is in Maya. But even nowadays when people find suitcases in the train tunnel, nobody touches it. Why? Bomb. They are Tesla bomb. And one day you are telling us, when he took his suitcase, he took his suitcase and he was going to some place. And one man touched him, he called him like this and told him, sir, just see your rupee notes are flying. And there were about 10 rupee notes, about 7 10 rupee notes, lying about 2 to 3 distance. One here, like that. And he really became very concerned, oh, my, it seems my purse has become open and all the rupee notes are flying. So he went to pick up the rupee notes. In the meantime, the thief took the suitcase and ran away. So he had put the rupee notes for what? For another purpose. Of course, this lady was intelligent. He ran behind him and somehow caught that. So he got the
Krishna Krishna and Sankara Krishna. Yeah, I heard that you so put this under this part, nothing it is, when you went to Mayapur. So the point is, as soon as the fish sees that meaty bait, at once it thinks, this is for my enjoyment. And then it goes to try to enjoy it, at once it's caught. This is the meaning of Maya. So, a person in goodness is very thoughtful. He sees, why is it such an enjoyable object to catch for enjoyment? So Kikar was told that nobody will come in the evening, he can enjoy. So he was singing and going, and do you know what he got? The same way Maya also acts. Maya offers everyone different things. First you have a desire to achieve something, and after you get it, then you have a hankering for protecting it and preserving it so that you will not lose it. So Maya offers everyone some allurement and keeps on creating a hankering in our mind. That is why many people are in the mood of passion. So this hankering can be only given up by developing attachment for Krishna. There is no other way. So Maya is very powerful. She offers various of allurements and gradually sucks all the energy of a person in her service, in Maya's service. In this way, the living being gradually becomes bound, thoroughly bound. He cannot escape, tightly bound. Suppose it is as if our hands and legs are tied. As if somebody has tied our hands and legs, we can't do anything like that. She ties. So, if you are a person in mode of goodness, then Maya will send you allurements according to that. In mode of goodness to attract you. Like sometimes we become more attracted by scholarly approach than devotional approach. Of course, we can appreciate the Raschanda Alankar in our Bhagavatam and other places. But if you simply appreciate only the Raschanda Alankar, then you become a kavi. You are not a bhakta. You become simply like a poet. So sometimes we may tend to appreciate those things and forget the essence of our studying Shastra. So one should be very careful because it is Maya's arrangement, Maya's trick. How Maya will come, nobody can say. For everyone, Maya comes in a different way. And this Maya is extremely powerful. The more we advance in spiritual life, one will be able to see the call of Maya. One can clearly see how the world is suffering. Like for example, if you are not a drunkard, you can see how a drunkard is suffering. Isn't it? It's very easy. When you see a drunkard lying in the street, you can understand how he is suffering. Because you are not a drunkard, so you can see. Similarly, people in mode of ignorance are in intoxication, and people in mode of passion are also in another type of intoxication. But a person in goodness can see people suffering in passion and ignorance like that. So a question arises in our mind, how is Maya so powerful that she is practically pervading Daiti Vesha Gudamari? How is she pervading the whole world? How is she so powerful? Why is Maya dominating the world comes to overcome Maya? Because this material world is made up of material things only, and material things have no life. What is your body made up of? It's made up of Santa Buddha and Manbuddhi Ahankar, which all are dead. They have no life at all in themselves. They get life only because the Atma is there. If Atma is not there, they all are dead. How can this dead material energy dominate the superior energy of the soul? The answer is because the material energy is working under the divine law. This is superior to both inferior and superior energy. So the body is trapping the soul, ordered by Krishna. So when Krishna says, Mama Maya, my energy, that means he is investing his own power in Maya. That means Maya is as powerful as Krishna, because it is Krishna's energy. If Maya wants to act, it can act as powerfully as Krishna. That is the power of Maya. Then imagine, can you ever fight with Krishna? It's possible. Is there any history of anybody winning over Krishna? Impossible. So same is the nature of fighting with Maya. You can say it's almost impossible. Just like you may find a small, tender, newly born child at the feet of a huge, ferocious, mad elephant. The elephant raises its legs to pound upon the child, what could be done? Nothing can be done. It's like that. Or like, for example, the wrestler catches an ant and closes his hand like this. Try your best to go out of my hand. If he says, do you think the ant can go by itself? What can the ant do? Ant can not even endeavor. He can just keep pressurizing his body to come out. He can't do anything. But when that wrestler, he opens his hands and lets the ant go, then the ant can go. Similarly, Maya is very powerful. Duratyaya, Krishna says. Duratyaya means it's impossible to overcome. It's not possible. Because Krishna is investing his own power in Maya to perform the activities within the material world. So, only by taking shelter of Krishna, it is possible for the living entity to get out of Maya.
There is no second alternative. There is no other way. One has learned the art of taking shelter of Krishna. Because when you take shelter of Krishna, it's like taking shelter of the owner of Maya. Because it is said in Brahma Samhita also, Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Dibarti Durga. Durga is like a shadow. And Krishna, when Krishna moves his hands, then when the shadow moves, in the same way Durga is acting. Whatever Krishna orders, she is like a servant maid. Mama Maya, when Krishna says, it's like saying that she is my servant maid and she will work according to my order. Whatever I tell her, she will do. She just acts according to Krishna's dictation. So the intelligent person should go to Krishna directly, who is master of Maya. Then it becomes very easy. At once, Maya will release the conditions. So Maya will give way. Actually, the Maya is also devoted to Krishna, but she has been offered the thankless task of screening the living entities, punishing them, casting them in the three modes, according to the proportion in which they want to be independent of Krishna. If somebody wants to be extremely independent, then they have to be cast in the mode of ignorance. So ignorance, passion, goodness, these are all different modes in which Maya is putting all the living entities. And when everyone tries to overcome Maya, Maya will also put trouble in their life. Lots of tests she will put. And to the degree one takes shelter of Krishna, that degree he will overcome Maya. One time, Srila Prabhupada was in a seashore, and Prabhupada told one Brahmananda Swami to catch a crab. Crab was a small crab. So Brahmananda Swami was having a huge body. So he jumped on the crab to catch it. But at once the crab went into the water. And he did not catch it. Prabhupada gave a big laugh. And after some time Prabhupada said, what happened? Why you couldn't catch it? And Brahmananda Swami said, it has gone inside. After some time the crab came again. Why didn't you try it again? Again Brahmananda Swami jumped on the crab. Again the crab went into the water. Then Prabhupada told him a good lesson. He said, the crab may be small, but it has taken shelter of the great. The crab has become great by taking shelter of the great. He said, so if you want to become great in your life, what should you do? Take shelter of the great, Krishna. So the ocean is very vast and the crab took shelter of the ocean. Similarly, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. By taking his shelter, although we are tiny, we will get complete protection from Krishna. We will get complete protection. We have nothing to fear. So this is the reason Prabhupada taught him that we should take shelter of Krishna to overcome Maya. Just as when you go to someone's house and the dog bites you, you become fearful. Even if you run away from the dog will chase you. Or you take a stick and hit the dog, it will bite you even more. Isn't it? In this way, when Maya attacks us, you cannot attack Maya in return, because you don't have any ability. We are tiny, very tiny in front of Maya. Nor can we run away. People have run away from Maya and they could not escape. Example, Sabarmani ran away from Maya and he went underwater to perform penances. Isn't it? Or Vishwamitra, he went in the deep forest. People go to forest to escape from all the influences of Maya, because they know for every one of the senses there are millions of objects offered by Maya. For the eyes, for the ears, for the nose, for the tongue, and for the skin, Maya offers you millions of objects. And if one lives in a fashionable city, one may become allured by all these temptations. And there is a great likelihood of one falling down. So people leave all these things and go to the forest thinking that now Maya cannot do anything to me. So this is why Brahmaji was given a good advice to pray that Yashasapatnam Dijijishamano, in the verse it says, that when, my dear Pilgrims, even if one goes to the forest, the six wives go with him. The five senses and the mind. So with a person. So you can't escape Maya, even if you go to the forest. So, this way, people who have escaped from Maya, Maya has stopped them. And nobody has ever dared to fight against Maya. It's not possible. Then what should be done? If the dog is biting you, you should at once take shelter of the master of the dog. You call out your friend's name. He will just give a visit. At once the dog will go away. You have seen this? And you go to some people's houses. Master says something, at once the dog becomes very satisfied. Because he sits in one corner. Same thing happens to Krishna's devotee also. When Krishna's devotee takes shelter of Krishna, at
one is freed from Maya. So much so that Prabhupada wanted this concentration to be established in the heart of the cities, so that he can preach, and it was very difficult. Living in the midst of city and preaching, you know how much I can have to condemn the associating with mechanistic people. But Prabhupada wanted to have this contemplation in the midst of the city because in cutting the aspect of the holy name must be propagated very vividly in every town and village. So there is a great danger. Even in last year's temple, the Buddha used to tell Prabhupada that women should never stay in the temple, they should not come to the temple. And the man should be, men should be there. So Prabhupada used to tell them, if you really want to become free from them, you have to go to forest. So Prabhupada jokingly said, you have to go to forest. But you should learn to live, even when you are coming and going, when you look at the manner, for man, the woman is attractive, and the woman, man is attractive. So Prabhupada said, we can be peacefully situated. Then you are Krishna conscious. That is most important. When you get center of Krishna, we are absorbed in Krishna consciousness, these elements will not come. In fact, Prabhupada writes in one purpose that when one is not Krishna conscious, lust, pride and greed, they become jealous of him. They become triggered up at once. For example, Subramani was not Krishna conscious, so lust became triggered up. For him, if you say, very easily. These are great enemies, the three things they create. Have another Maraka Puram, Varamasana Matmanha. So before, Maya can be, maintained to Maya can be overcome only by taking support of Krishna. Maya knows you, attachment to Maya, Parampita. The only heading to speak about how to take shelter of Krishna, maybe I'll put them at school again, under the same letter. Any question? He's saying, it is the same kind of that body of power, the body of the human body. That body was coming in another 400,000 human species. The human among power, they have to worship mountains, they worship sun, they worship trees, they have to worship. See, simply bowing down before God is using special advancement. Accepting the authority of God itself will give you some spiritual advancement. We have to have that worship. In fact, in all parts of the world, everywhere there is some kind of worship that we have. It may not be very advanced. We may not understand the power of God and all. But we have some kind of worship. Certainly. They also have, they may not be so philosophical, but they make some progress. Because of the reaction for the past karma, one may not be able to come to Krishna consciousness. Can the reaction be overcome to the past karma? See, if you have done bad activities in the past, the bad reactions are going to come in this life. You can't avoid it anyway. They are going to come. But as we said earlier also, the devotion service is completely independent. If some devotee may come to you and give you a Prabhupada's book, or you know, give them prasad, or then invite you for a class. So when we even come to the class, when we accept the prasad, when we read book, nothing enters inside. You must have seen that, especially in the beginning stage. It's only because of the past bad activity. Nothing gets inside. But then everyone takes different time. Some people become serious in 2 months. Some people become serious in 20 years. Some people become serious even after 30 years. They are coming with their relatives, friends, temple, they just come and go. Nothing enters their head. They don't understand any philosophy. They have their own philosophy, self-made philosophy they have. They seem to be like that. And that's the past bad reaction. But all that they are doing now, in Krishna consciousness, will act as some sukriti. So that in the future it will have an effect. But some people get awakened. Over a period of time they come, at one point on, they begin understanding. Yes, it's true. I have to surrender to Krishna more. I'm not at all surrendered, I have to understand more. And they start understanding. Just like, the sannyasi understand that he has some disease. And the doctor is available 20 miles away, will he not go? If he has some back pain, and there is the best doctor in Pune for back pain, 20 miles away, will he go or not? So certainly go. Because you know that it ought to be done. It has to be done. I can't avoid it because I want to get it cured. Similarly, as soon as the devotee begins to become awake and he begins to understand that I have a disease of materialism and there is a program going on. Okay, no matter how distant it is, you go and attend that program. Because I have to refuel myself. I have to put injection. Special injection I have to get. I have to hear Krishna Katha, I have to take prasad, I have to meet the devotees, I have to be in assembly. So one begins to appreciate the importance of becoming Krishna conscious when one is awakened. That means you are getting awakened. But some people, if you take them, they will come. If you don't take them, they will not go.
They don't understand the importance. They just say, like they go to temple, they are going to a movie theater. Either they say, Saturday, Sunday, what should we do? Let's go to Hare Krishna temple, they go. Or let's go to movie, both are same for them. They want something. So one should not be like that. So one has to understand the importance of the Hare Krishna concept. Actually, go ahead. But actually the devotee association is going to greatly influence it. When you come in the assembly of devotees, that desire is also going to influence it. Like if a devotee has a very great desire, that you should become Krishna conscious. Then you will become Krishna conscious very fast. But not only desire, the world makes you become Krishna conscious. So you become Akram Krishna conscious. Sri Prabhupada desired that all the hippies who are deeply absorbed in ignorance, they should become Krishna conscious. So they all become Krishna conscious. How many of them? So we don't have to worry. Now all of us here, we all have come in the right association. One thing is we have to take it more and more seriously. We should realize the importance of becoming Krishna conscious in this very life. Otherwise we may come again back. Like if you make a material desire, you may go to the heavenly planets to enjoy them. Or even if you are in a very elevated platform of goodness, still you will go to the Brahma Loka or Sakti Loka there. Only if you have performed the pure devotion service to come to that platform, then only you can go back to that. So you should take it very seriously. I have not heard any past history of Nigari. Nigari was a very simple Mriga Ari. He was an enemy of animals. Mriga Ari means enemy of animals. They were common animals, half-killing animals. It is in a great devotee simply by the company of Nagamani. Chalayama lagayanapi, nasargam na panarbhavam. Chalayama even, the moment, even if Chalayama means actually, laga means even a portion of a minute, very small time period. Chalayama lagayanapi, nasargam na panarbhavam. Even a moment of association of devotee, that devotee is uncomparable, even to achievement of heavenly planets. Or even liberation, he says. Because even in liberation, one doesn't have service in Brahma. Whereas, if one has his devotion service, one can attend this to Krishna. So the association is an influence very much. I think boys who used to sleep 15 hours, you know, like boys who go at 12 o'clock in the night and do morning, next day morning 12 o'clock they wake up, you know, especially if it is a Sunday. They become great devotees afterwards. Yeah, people in mode of ignorance. One boy told me, he said yesterday night when he woke up, Thursday morning. There are people like that. Later on they become devotees. In general only after seeing the date in the watch. So once they had part of their eating, sleeping was more disappearing than eating. There are people like that deeply absorbed in mode of ignorance. They become devotees. So this goes so it's not impossible for such people to become devotees. I am Kunda Sai Chaitanya. Nalam Vijatam Devatam Shukram Vasaratna Vyatrina and Kundasya Nadrikam Na Bhagnata. In the verse is not by being a Jija or a Brahmana, by being a Rishi, by being a Devata, by being a Devigar, or by renouncing the world, or by great learning, can one achieve Krishna. Only by developing loving devotion service. So Krishna can one achieve Krishna. That's the meaning of it. Yes, you go higher only Deva for that.
They are
so worshipping Mukunda. Ah, they worship Mukunda, but they worship in mixed devotion. Mixed devotion means they are a pure devotion. They worship Krishna, but also they maintain their sincerity that they desire. So maintain it. In Jamaloka they said, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Tapaloka, these three are little special compared to the Bhavaloka, Saloka, those lower. See, above the Matsuloka, the plantations are called Sarvaloka. There is a lot of enjoyment. But in the top three planets, there are great rishis and munis who are very serious about going back to Kaga. They are very serious. In the top three, there is Shreya. So one goes there, one can end up taking service there also. So somebody very serious may be elevated to Yamaloka like that. Shreya, elevated in goodness. So then we decide, anybody going to upper countries is never serious permanently. They have some period where they spend and they come back after that. Of course, even one comes up in the heavenly planet, the impressions are there. Whatever penances one has performed in the highest planet, Kamaloka, one has that and one comes back. And then, there is a Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Punaravartana, one has to come back, one cannot stay there. And then one gets a suitable human body in Matsya Loka, from there one can execute devotion for it. And one can go back like that. Yes, as far as I know, even the demigods want to come to the Matsya Loka. It is said in heavenly planets there is joy, happiness. In lower planets there is suffering. and here there is mixture happening in suffering. And there is a good platform because you cannot see the misery of Ram. And the Hindu tantrism is so much misery, you can't do anything. So much pain that one cannot think of anything else except the pain. But in high tantrism is so much happiness. Here it is mixed, so there is a possibility of one to respond. Even beginners, they have to come here. And also the lifespan is short here, unlike the Hindu tantrism. The short time. So in a short time, one can perfect life, especially in this Kali Yuga, very fast. The chanting of Hare Krishna mantra. One can very quickly perfect life. Asking, did Nagari do anything good in his past life in order to meet Narada? See, these are all called as Kripa Siddha. Kripa Siddha means they have not done anything on that part, then they just come across the devotee, and the devotee gives his costless mercy to them. See, even you can say to our spiritual master, please give me costless mercy. I am like Nagari, I am not qualified, please give me your costless. In fact, whatever you get is costless mercy from the Guru also. But Nagari got a great quantity of mercy. That's very quickly he came into the water. So such things are given in the Shastra to show us how Lord's name is so potent, so powerful, and that we can believe even such fallen people.